With you from chapter 31, beginning in chapter 31, the book of Exodus. I'd like to begin reading in Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and he said, See or understand that I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. So he's going to be the foreman on the building of the tabernacle, put it in New Testament words. He'll have the ability to devise cunning works, to work in gold, in silver and in brass, in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. Can you imagine the wisdom, the understanding that God gave to this man? And I guess I read verse 5, but the cutting of stones to set them, and in the carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Bezaleel, his name in Hebrew means under the presence and protection of God. So he not only had the presence of God and all this ability given to him, but he had God's protection. But in the building of that tabernacle, he was going to need a team to work with him. That's what we call a body ministry. Verse 6 says this, And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they make all that I have commanded thee. Now the name Bezaleel is pretty well known in biblical studies. In fact, in recent years, I know there was an art school in Jerusalem called the Bezaleel Art School. I don't know if it's still going or not. But this man that was given to Bezaleel to stand beside him, I'll call him the assistant foreman, Aholiab. Most people have never even heard of his name. His, the meaning of Jewish names just gives us incredible understanding of the scripture. His name means to be at home in the Father's house. I mean, that's where his first love was, in God and working for God, giving his talent for the Lord. We're told that his father's name was Ahisamach, which means to be a supporter of the work, a brother supporting the body ministry. So here's Aholiab following in his father's footsteps. He's certainly the supporter, assistant to Bezaleel, and his heart was in the work. If we look at chapter 31, God said he put wisdom, made him wise-hearted, and others that began to commit to the body ministry to build that tabernacle in the wilderness. God gave gifts. I mentioned that the name of Aholiab is not really one that's well known, but I'm focusing in on his life tonight. He's mentioned 5 times in the Bible, the book of Exodus. The first time we've just read. Now I want you to turn to Exodus 35. Exodus chapter 35. Verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. I mean, what a foreman for a job. That Old Testament tabernacle had to be just right. Verse 30 says he was able to devise curious works. He had to work with gold, with silver, and with brass. He had to know how to cut stones, to set them. He had to be talented in the carving of wood and any manner of cunning work. And there was such an anointing on Bezaleel's life that God says he hath put in his heart that he may teach or reveal these truths that God has given to him and to the assistant foreman, Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Listen to this now. Verse 35. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman. And the embroider in blue and in purple and scarlet, in fine linen. So there was all kinds of talent that had to be given. He had to know how to devise cunning work, the workmanship on the priest's garments and things like that. Well, that's the second time that Aholiab's name is mentioned. Turn to chapter 36 now. Verse 1. Then wrought Bezaleel, the foreman, and Aholiab, his assistant, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. I'm focusing on this phrase here that God gave special talents to everybody whose heart was stirred. I've been in the ministry some 50 years, and I've watched many people have a relationship with the Lord. It's a holiday type thing, or they come when the priority is right, something else doesn't interfere. But not everybody has a stirring of heart to put God first. I appreciate those that are stirred to the work of the Lord in this body. I think that's so important. But it's a heart issue, the Bible says. If they had the heart for it, God would give them the gift. We're living in an hour where I keep reading in periodicals where it's hard to get laborers, Sunday school workers, or people that want to make a commitment or stick to a project. It's not an easy hour. It's more of a falling away. Thank God those whose hearts are stirred. Is it Jeremiah, 17, verses 9 and 10? Says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, the thoughts, to give unto every man or every woman according to their works and according to the fruit of their doings. God looks at our heart, and he knows if my heart is really stirred as a pastor or where it's just a job. It's just a paycheck. Proverbs 4:23 says, out of the heart are the issues of life. So God knew the heart of Bezaleel. So he's a foreman. He knew the heart of Aholiab because his heart was in his father's house. He followed his father's example. His father set an example before him of support. And he gives himself to the point where he's appointed, I'm calling him assistant foreman. But others, anybody that was hungry to serve God, God gave them wisdom if their hearts were stirred. So there's two references here in Exodus 36 to Aholiab. So that's four of the five references. The fifth one, I'll ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 38. Exodus chapter 38. Verse 21 says, this is the sum of the tabernacle. Moses had just laid out all the material that was going to be needed for these guys to work with, the gold, the silver, the wood, the nails, the pins, everything. The linen, garments for the priests, they had to be made. And it says that there was an analysis, I call it bookkeeping record concerning this tabernacle that was built according to the commandment of Moses. And the guy that was the CPA or the record keeper was a man called Ithamar. He was a son of Aaron the priest. It's interesting that, you pick up a meaning of these names that makes it embellishes the story. And I was thinking about this Ithamar. His name, if you were to look it up in Strong's, would say his name means like the coast or the perimeter of the palm tree. And the Bible says the righteous should be as a palm tree, erect, upright. God's work is like a palm tree. It's erect, it's upright. And we're told that this Ithamar, he was on top of every detail of that tabernacle. He had a record of every nail and every pin, everything that went into the building of that, even to the perimeter, to the coast of it. Gold, brass, silver, I'll probably be missing some things, some timber, linen, the coverings for the tabernacle, the nails, the pins, the hooks, the linens, and all the priestly attire. I think it's a good time for me to say something about the guy that's kept the books in this church since I've been, is Lyle. And to me, he's a real Ithamar. He doesn't miss a thing. And Lyle, when you get to heaven, maybe the Lord will let us look at these books, see what kind of records that Ithamar had. And you can show him your records too. Lyle worked with us to work through all the paperwork to get our tax number from the IRS. And just ask Cindy. He's got his finger on every little thing. Let's give him a hand for being the man he is. Thanks, Lyle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It'd be interesting to meet people that we knew that was the same field that we were when we get to heaven. Speaking about heaven, and excited to share about Janie Friday and what a friend she was. And I can just imagine her coming to heaven. I know that, the angels are there to take that spirit as soon as they breathe their last breath and head for the third heaven. Number one, see the Lord. Eye hath not seen or ear heard, neither than the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. What a joy that must have been for her to see Jesus. She's there now. And I can just look right now and see her Carol and Janie spinning around like tops, being happy in the Lord. I remember Coach Dan Stavely, who we had great fellowship. He's going on to be with the Lord now. He was with us on one of our tours to Israel. He was a football coach up at CU, but a tremendous man of God. And I heard him say something that I've never forgotten. He said, our life down here is just a spring training. In football, they have spring practice. They're just getting ready for the season to start. And Dan said, we're just in spring training. When we get up there, we want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now the real game starts. Come and enter into the eternal day. Hallelujah. It's not wrong to get excited about going to heaven, is it? Hallelujah. I remember when we were in Israel on tour, you talk about a man that was stirred. People have a tendency sometimes when you get to you have a group. To get the group right together, it's not that easy. Some people drift in this way and some this way and some are slow and dragging behind. And Dan Stavely would get there, huddle up here, he'd say, huddle up here, get everybody here. He would get them together quick. I mean, he was stirred up. He was a tremendous joy to be around. And I appreciate all the people that have been involved in the ministry where I've been able to serve, like here at Bethel, that they're stirred. And that's the only way we can be successful, that we can really please God. And God said he put special gifts into the lives of those whose hearts were stirred. Man, I don't want to miss any of those gifts. I don't want any of you to miss any of them. I know to be successful, especially in this hour, we've got to occupy until Jesus comes. We've certainly, in the times that we live, we need this wisdom, this knowledge, this understanding. And like Bezalel and Aholiab and everybody whose heart was stirred, I believe God is prepared to impart special gifts. I know he spoke to me, and I didn't want to mix two messages together, but usually at the end of December, maybe sometimes it's the last service, sometimes I believe in this year it'll be this Sunday, he spoke to my heart. I just know some special things are ahead, and God has some special things for his people. But I think he wants to know who's going to be stirred, who's stirred in their heart to see God move. There's a definite falling away taking place. The Bible's clear about that. People be lovers of self more than lovers of God. Other priorities come first. I want my heart to be stirred to give God my best, to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I think about Daniel, chapter 2. You know, God used him in that hour in Babylon to deal with Nebuchadnezzar and that whole situation because his heart was stirred. Daniel 2, 20 through 22, in that area it says, you know, blessed be the name of God. This is what Daniel said, because of the gifts God had given him. For wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings, he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. How mightily that happened to Daniel to interpret those dreams and to be used mightily as he was. I want to focus a little bit, and maybe you prepare your heart as you come Sunday. I feel some great things are ahead. And I want to share how I see it's going to happen. I think God gives us a forewarning, what to look for, what to do, how to be a part, be prepared. And I want my heart to be stirred. I want the hearts, the people in this church to be stirred. So Usually I would focus more for a decree service at the end of the year, but I feel God has really speeded things up a little bit. I'm looking forward to Sunday. We're not only we're going to believe for things that God has specially for the days ahead, but how do we enter into it? How's it going to happen? I felt like tonight the thought that's been on my heart all week is that each one of us, we have to make a decision. Are we really stirred to serve the Lord? Have we shown God that we're really stirred in our hearts? If so, man, we have every reason to expect wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Not everybody is stirred. That's just the way it is in life. Satan will do everything he can to wreck the Sabbath, turn people away from the house of God. Keep them away from Wednesday night services you brought out last Saturday. And the only way we overcome in some of these areas is whether or not our heart is stirred. I remember when I was ordained, I think George and Dee were there, I'd walked off the platform and this pastor said, "One more thing the Lord says, that he says he's going to bless your life and I see you running with God." That's 50 years ago. I thank God for his anointing, hallelujah, for the privilege of being stirred to serve the Lord. What I felt tonight in preparation for what I want to share Sunday is, can we pray for our families and for Alvin and the young people that are downstairs? It's not so easy to keep focus on God and him to be first in this hour. It's not easy for adults. Sydney and I were talking about a couple family members who had come into church tonight, and a loved one, it's not a family member. All three of them, as far as we know, they just pulled out of church. They're not even in church. So good people get pushed aside. And I felt what the Lord showed me tonight is that I want to pray for you. I want you to pray for me that our hearts will be stirred. If our hearts are really stirred and God knows it, there's gifts that's going to fall all over the place on people's lives. And God wants to have his church move forward in this hour. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about the time when the rapture occurs, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. It's the Greek word kalousma, which means like a battalion of soldiers. We're just not sitting by the wayside. We're moving. We're active. We're occupying until Jesus comes. I know this world is not my final home, but I'm going to get everything I can out of it as my testimony for the Lord until he does come. That's what we're supposed to do. So when he shouts, I want to be moving. The only thing is then when he shouts, I won't keep moving. That way I'll keep moving up. We go up. How many are thankful for the hope that we have, the blessed hope for the Lord, the coming of the Lord? Hallelujah. Don't you agree with me that it'd be wise for us tonight to conclude the service by praying for one another, that we truly be stirred? Well, you can tell when somebody's just stirred for God or whether other things have priority in their life. I want to pray and then maybe, Jeff, you could help us out with some background music. Anybody, if you feel led to come forward, we just stand together. Can we ask God to stir our families, to stir our marriages, to stir? It's always hard to maintain Sunday school teachers. All I have to do is talk to Brenda. It's easy to fade out of things. But let's be stirred. Let's let God know. If we need strength, let's ask him to give us strength. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for this beautiful testimony of Bezaleel and Aholiab and Ithamar and that body ministry that built that tabernacle and made it a success. Lord, we've seen the body ministry work. We've seen the beauty of people coming together. And God, it can't happen unless there's a stirring in the heart. And I pray you'll start by stirring my heart afresh and anew to give it 110%. I pray that everybody in the building tonight, that it'll be a personal thing between them and God. We know if we're falling away or whether we're stirred. God, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. You look at the heart. The heart can be deceived. We don't want our hearts to be deceived. God, we want to see a stirring. We want to, Lord, I'm praying ahead of time that there will be a great outpouring of the Spirit on Sunday morning, that people that want to be stirred to serve you, that you'll give. God, we need wisdom. We need understanding. We need knowledge. We need counsel. And we're looking forward to claiming that for this upcoming new year. I pray you'll bless each one that's here tonight, Lord. It's a testimony that they're in your house, that they've come. That shows a stirring. I pray for a special anointing as we conclude this service, praying for others, praying for our country, praying for the church. And help us as we stand in your presence, God, to make it clear to you that we're stirred to serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe as we sing a couple songs, that don't hesitate if God anoints you to just lay hands on me and pray for me. I want to be stirred, but we need to pray for one another. And let's pray for one another, whether you're in your seat or whether you come forward, and pray for America. We need revival. We need a real stirring of God, no question about it. It's got to start in the church, and that starts with me. Starts with you. God bless you for being here tonight. Let's follow the example of Bezalel, of Aholiab, of Ithamar, and all those people that stirred their hearts up. God gave them wisdom. They built a tremendous building. We can do the same thing in this hour. Jeff, go ahead and lead us if you would.